fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday, and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Ghana's new International Boxing Federation lightweight world champion, Richard Comey, has received a joyous welcome home, as we hear now from our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori.
The current International Boxing Federation world champion, Richard Comey, was given a hero's welcome. The newly crowned IBF champion joined a fanfare from the airport in an open-top four-wheel drive, racing high his new bed, drove through the principal streets of Accra and ending at Bukom, the birthplace of Ghana boxing. In a short media briefing on arrival at the airport, the 31-year-old Ghanaian champion thanked all Ghanaians for their support. Richard Comey defeated Russian Issa Shaniyev to become the new IBF lightweight world champion by a second-round knockout at the Ford Center in Frisco, Texas. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, Richard Comey was scheduled to fight the Ukrainian Vasyl Lomachenko April 12th in a lightweight world title unification fight. But that bout has been postponed after Comey injured his right hand in his title-winning victory over Chaniyev. Richard Comey is expected to be sidelined at least 6 weeks to recover from the knuckle injury. In African athletics, a 21-year-old Ethiopian runner is expected to make an attempt at breaking the men's mile indoor world record on Saturday in Birmingham, England. The energetic Andy Edwards has this preview for us of the Miller Indoor Grand Prix meet in Birmingham.
Year in, year out, this indoor Grand Prix ranks among the very best on the IAAF World Tour, and prospects for just such a pedigree on Saturday are bright. Yomif Kachelcha of Ethiopia came within 1/100th of a second in breaking the world indoor record for the mile at the Millrose Games in New York last week, and he runs at the same distance here. So too does his compatriot and world indoor champion, Samuel Tefera, who took the title a year ago on this Birmingham track. But Kachelcha will start as favourite, having twice won world indoor gold at 3,000 metres. There is talent spread throughout the events, with Jamaica's double Olympic sprint champion Elaine Thompson going in the women's 60 metres. She is currently aiming at improving her start, though her finishing speed won gold in the 1 and 200 metres in Rio 3 years ago.
It's a key. I know most of the females there start really great, and to be a real runner you have to be a great starter, even though sometimes you have a fast finisher, you have a fast starter. I know I'm a fast finisher, but I'm trying to get that fast start as well, so it doesn't matter who's next beside me who get that first try out. I don't watch that person, I just stay in my lane and get my start long and get those arms pumping because I know what I'm capable of doing. So if a person is ahead of me like for two strides, I don't really let that bother me. I just have to work on whatever I have to work on and just get those knees lifting and those arms pumping and reach the finishing line.
Spain's Juan Miguel Echevarria is one of the world indoor champions competing, and his performance will doubtless be noted by South Africa's Luvo Manyonga not competing here as the outdoor season draws near. The field events are rich in promise, and none more so than the women's pole vault, featuring the Olympic and world champion Katerina Stefanidi of Greece. Having studied in the USA, she has made her training base there, together with her coach and husband Mitch Creer. Stefanidi has yet to achieve the current pole vault pinnacle of 5 meters, but proved her competitive steel to win big on many occasions.
Even from a really young age, I was never very motivated by height.
I wanted to go in a competition and win. And I joked going into Rio that if it takes 460 to win, I'll be plenty happy. So I would say we continue with that mindset. I think pole vault is slowly getting a little better, so I think we will have to get to those 5 meter and even higher than 5 meter jumps soon to be able to win medals in the big championships. But I think what has made me successful is my consistency in those 485 jumps.
There will be plenty of African interest throughout, with Winnie Chebet leading a strong contingent in the women's mile. The Kenyan duo of Bethwel Biergun and Vincent Kibet are in good form, having won in the 1500 metres on the European circuit recently. But they will have to be at the very top of their game against Yomif Kechelcha if the Ethiopian is on world record pace. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in Birmingham.
Thanks, Andy. It sure sounds like an exciting indoor meet in Birmingham. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African cricket and African football news is Samson Omale. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with Sunday's final at the Africa Under 20 Cup of Nations in Niger. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. In Niger, the CAF Under 20 African Cup of Nations finalists have emerged after the semi-final matches were concluded midweek. Mali will play Senegal in Sunday's final of the Under 20 African Cup of Nations in a repeat of the opening Group B encounter. Mali needed penalties to beat Nigeria after a 1-1 draw to book their place in the final, while Senegal beat South Africa 1-0 in the other semi-final. Some Nigerian fans react to the all-West African final this way.
CAF Under 20 finals between Senegal and Mali, it should be interesting when we consider the fact that these two teams are neighbors, West African neighbors. And one thing I am happy that the fact that physically, they are a match. When you see them physically, they are bigger than most of the teams, the other teams that came for the tournament, the Malians and the Senegalese. They both came out from the same group. So I think it's just going to be, who wants to go for the glory.
Well, I think the victory for Mali and Senegal goes a long way to state the fact that Senegal has continued to do well in African football, both at the senior level and the youth level. They continue to be at the summit of rankings when it comes to monthly FIFA ranking. And it was a painful loss for Nigeria, because I would have wanted Nigeria to progress.
All four teams have qualified for the Under 20 World Cup in Poland later in May. The Council of East and Central African Football Association Senior Challenge Cup returns this year, with Uganda hosting the regional football competition in December after members endorsed it during a consultative meeting held in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Having not been held in 2018 after Kenya withdrew the hosting rights, members of the oldest regional body committed to contributing to a solidarity fund that will guarantee the staging of the annual competition. Uganda last hosted the competition in 2012, where they won 2-1 against Kenya in the final, which was held at the Nambol National Stadium in Kampala. And on to cricket news. The 2019 Cricket World Cup Trophy of the International Cricket Council is in Nigeria on a 3-day tour of the country as part of a build-up to the 2019 World Cup. Nigeria, despite not being eligible to participate in the World Cup in the United Kingdom later in June, has been picked as one of the countries that the World Cup will visit in recognition of her growing interest in the game. This is according to Kuben Piali, the Finance Operations Officer of the International Cricket Council of Africa.
So we want to reward the Nigeria Cricket Federation for the work that they've put in over the last 18 months and also increase the profile of the game in Nigeria, bring more people to the game, attract more sponsors to the game and just grow the game in general.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. And I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association will celebrate its best players this weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where the 68th annual NBA All-Star Game will be played Sunday evening. But there will be All-Star activities throughout the weekend in Charlotte leading up to the popular exhibition contest. A celebrity game, a rising stars game, a skills challenge, a three-point contest, and a dunk contest should keep the basketball fans entertained. And I'm betting a few of those fans might even try for a photo op with NBA great Michael Jordan, who figures to be in a few photos in Charlotte. Michael Jordan is the owner of the Charlotte Hornets, and the All-Star Game will be played at the Spectrum Center, the home of the Hornets. As I mentioned during Thursday's show, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks and LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers will captain the two All-Star teams on Sunday. The Bucks go into the All-Star break with the NBA's best record, 43 wins and 14 losses. In NBA results Thursday night, the Orlando Magic defeated the visiting Charlotte Hornets 127-89. The host New Orleans Pelicans beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 131-122. And the New York Knicks snapped a franchise-worst 18-game losing streak by clipping the wings of the host Atlanta Hawks 106-91. Among the fans on hand for the game in Atlanta were former U.S. President Jimmy Carter and his wife, Rosalynn. For our VOA sports fans keeping score, Jimmy Carter is now 94 years old, while Rosalynn Carter is 91 years old. They were introduced to a standing ovation during a timeout early in the first quarter. The Hawks also did a video presentation of Jimmy Carter's career in humanitarian causes, politics, and philanthropy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Nigerian club Rivers Hoopers has intensified preparations for the African Basketball League. The league replaced the African Continental Championship. Rivers Hoopers is in Group A with AS Saleh of Morocco, JS Kurani of Tunisia, and Slok of Guinea. Group games will be played in Morocco from March 1st to March 3rd. Ogo Odadu is the chief coach of the Rivers Hoopers. He's also an assistant coach of the Nigerian men's national basketball team, nicknamed the Tigers. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach Odadu talked about the Hoopers and their preparations for the African Basketball League.
We are preparing very hard. We have been in camp for close to 2 weeks now, and we've been putting in a lot of work. This is the first time we have made history by playing in the first edition of the African Basketball League, and we want to go out there and make our mark. We don't want to go out there and just participate just like other teams. We want to qualify from our group. The first two teams in each group qualify and go to the round of eight, which is called the Elite Eight. And so far, that is our target for now.
Have reinforced your team with new players and the coaching crew to prepare for this big tournament?
Well, the coaching crew remains intact. I think we've been doing a good job, but on the player side, we needed to strengthen some positions where we were deficient in, and that's what we exactly did. We brought in a very experienced power forward, Abdul Yahaya, former Kano Pillars, former Mark Mentors, former Dodan Warriors, former Kada Stars, who has been around a lot. He's also an ex-national. He's also a national team player. He has been on the national team for a while, so we thought his experience would help us a lot in the competition, so we brought him over, and he's in town with us, and he's practicing now, getting ready. Another player which we expect, we're going to round up all those modalities for the end of the week, and is expected to join us also by the weekend. He's going to come in from Bauchi. His name is Akpara Akita, an experienced point guard too. He's going to come and help add the experience. Akpara Akita will come and lend his own experience to the team. I think with the two of them, with the people that we have already, we are going to put up a good performance.
What's your take on the game of basketball football in Africa. What many people know is all about NBA in America, the Chinese League, and the Euro basketball teams. What is it like in Africa?
Well, basketball is growing steadily. I'm beginning to think that in a little while, it will almost come to the same level as football. Now, this African Basketball League is another indicator that basketball is growing. Before, all 12 teams will just go and gather in one venue and just play two groups in a one-week competition, and then that is all. But now they have introduced the African Basketball League, where you can see that you are going to play over the space of 3 to 4 months, from the qualifiers to the group stages to the Elite Eight to the Final Four. So it's really getting better. Also, if you look at it on the national stage, instead of 3 teams to the World Cup, FIBA has allocated 5 slots to Africa. So instead of 3 teams going to the World Cup, which was done before, now 5 teams. They have also seen that basketball is growing in Africa, and rightly so too. They tend to appreciate that by giving us more slots to go to the World Cup. Nigeria will be going to play in the last qualifiers in the group basketball, even though they have qualified, but they still have to go and play, which is coming up in Abidjan on the 22nd of this month. I am also an assistant coach on the national team too, so hopefully I'll be in Abidjan with the national team by the 22nd of this month.
That's Ogo Odadu, the head coach of the Nigerian basketball club Rivers Hoopers. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I love that name, the Hoopers. The Hoopers. Hoop it up, Hoopers. Hoop it up. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. And here's a fun VOA fact about Music Time in Africa. It's the Voice of America's longest-running English-language radio program. It was founded in 1965 by the late great music man, Leo Sarkisian. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, the Davis Cup draw ceremony was held Thursday in Madrid, Spain. For more details, let's turn to my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. A new Davis Cup era has begun as 18 nations drew into 6 groups for the newly formatted and controversial Davis Cup tournament. Among many changes, the 119-year-old competition will abandon its traditional 2-team final for an 18-team final phase set for the end of November. The overhaul has faced criticism since last year when the International Tennis Federation, or ITF, was given the green light to move forward with the makeover. But on Thursday, ITF President David Haggerty vowed to prove the critics wrong.
I would encourage those people that are concerned about it to come to Madrid in November and see for yourself, because when you have 18 teams together competing, it will be great. Some of the challenges that we've had in the past is that players really couldn't determine what their calendar flow should be, because they didn't know where they would play, what surface they would play, who they would play. And it was difficult to organize for the organizers for the finals, because you had a short amount of time in order to put it on. Now, we are already planning for November, so it's very exciting.
Spanish footballer Gerard Piqué has also been criticized for his partnership with the ITF. Piqué's investment group Cosmos plans to invest $3 billion over 25 years into the Davis Cup tournament. Some tennis players have bristled at the idea of a football player getting involved in the business of tennis. And on Thursday, Piqué was asked why he chose to partner with the ITF.
When I was a kid, I loved football and I loved tennis. At the end, I decided to go to play football because I think I played a little bit better. But tennis, I mean, since I was a kid, I was a fan of tennis as a sport. And I saw Davis Cup as an opportunity for a competition that can be in the future a great, great competition. A lot of history, and I think that we are a great partner for the ITF.
The U.S. Tennis Association is quoted as saying the new format will project the Davis Cup into the 21st century and elevate the competition to the heights it deserves. So the big question is how well the players will adjust to a week-long final at the end of the tennis season. And speaking of players, let's look at the draws. In Group A, Serbia, Japan, and 2018 runners-up, France. Host Spain will face Russia and defending Davis Cup champions Croatia in Group B, probably the toughest group of the bunch. In Group C, Argentina, Germany, and Chile. In Group D, Belgium, Australia, and Colombia. Group E will see Britain, Kazakhstan, and the Netherlands, and the United States, who have won more Davis Cup titles than any other nation, will face Canada and Italy in Group F. Switzerland has been knocked out of this month's qualifiers, so Roger Federer will not appear in the Davis Cup's newly formatted inaugural tournament. The week-long Davis Cup final event is set for November 18th through the 24th in Madrid, Spain. And that's all from me for the week. Sunny, back to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. You have a good weekend, too. And thank you for your sporty contributions this past week. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Gwen mentioned Swiss tennis star Roger Federer in her report. Roger is currently ranked 6th in the world in the latest men's tennis rankings put out by the ATP. That's the Association of Tennis Professionals. Novak Djokovic, who won the Australian Open title to start 2019, is at the top with 10,955 ranking points. Novak is followed by the Spanish great Rafael Nadal. He's ranked number 2 in the world. And the young German Alexander Zverev is ranked 3rd in the world, followed by Juan Martín Del Potro of Argentina at number 4, and the South African Kevin Anderson at number 5, one place above Roger Federer. Still waiting for Kevin Anderson to make his breakthrough and win a Grand Slam tennis title. Taking a quick look at the women's top rankings, Naomi Osaka from Japan. Like Novak Djokovic, she won a trophy down under in Australia. Naomi is ranked number 1 in the world, followed by Petra Kvitova of the Czech Republic, and at number 3, Simona Halep of Romania. And that wraps up the February 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clote of VOA Africa. I am in Nigeria to cover the general election. Listen to my daily reports when you tune in to our news shows. Africa News Tonight, Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, and International Edition for the latest from Lagos.
Hello friends, this is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me this Monday for an exciting edition of your show. Our topic will be African beauty. This will be Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, peepsters. Welcome to the weekend. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Boy, do I have a show for you. 55 minutes of cool, commercial-free, Pan-African music. Hear your favorite current Afro beats. Discover new music from Ghana and meet Blinky Bill from Nairobi. He's just released a new album.
Even if you know a lot of things, there's no guarantee that you're gonna see it tomorrow.
Revel in earthy African classics from Mali, Cape Verde, DRC, and South Africa. All this and more this Sunday at 15:05 and 20:05 UTC. Just tune in to your local FM station and meet me there. Music Time in Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA recently said goodnight and ended the nearly 15-year mission of its Opportunity Mars rover after months of continued attempts to revive it failed. Soon after a global dust storm erupted on Mars in late May 2018, NASA was forced to suspend the science operations for the rover. Since the rover was solar-powered, dust from the storm blocked the sun's rays from reaching its solar panels, cutting off its supply of power. The space agency began vigorous efforts to revive Opportunity in August 2018 after its Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter let them know that the dust storm was dissipating. Opportunity had a twin called Spirit. Both were launched within a month of each other. NASA officially ended Spirit's mission in 2011 after losing contact with it in 2010. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, I'm Lenore Moudou, host of Health Chat. Tuesday on Health Chat, we will discuss measles, as some countries around the world are grappling with the disease. Our guest is Dr. Vincent Sojounou, incident manager with the World Health Organization in Madagascar. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.